Matthew 14. Starting in verse 13, Matthew 14, verse 13. Jesus has just heard about the fact that Herod has beheaded John the Baptist. And so the verse begins, "When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Well-known portion of Scripture, much for us to learn from, but this morning I believe the Lord would have us focus on one particular aspect, one particular lesson that's held before us this morning. Do you ever wonder if God could use someone like you? Are there times when you would like to be used by God, but when you take an inventory of what you have to offer him, it seems so meager? We look in the mirror, and if we're honest with ourselves, we say, "Lord, what do I have to give you? I mean, you're God, and I'm me, and there's such a gap. And what do I really have to offer you, Lord?" We want our lives to be used by God. We want them to have meaning and purpose and be available to him. But it can seem so often like we have so little to offer. Whenever you find yourself thinking that way, whenever you find yourself just wondering what you have to offer God, then take heart, because you are just like the disciples were in our text this morning. But the disciples are going to learn a lesson, and it's an awesome lesson, and it's one that we do need to learn, because you see, they learn it's not about what you bring to the Lord. It's who you're bringing it to. Look at verses 17 and 18. They said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." I've called our time together this morning based on this verse, "Bring them here to me." Let's pray. Father, these lives of ours, be they 5 loaves and 2 fish, we hunger, Lord, to be used by you. We want to be available to you. But we're also aware, Lord, we fall so short. We are torn by so many things. Lord, help us. Lord, you've drawn us to consider this portion of Scripture not just from our head, but our heart. Help us to do that. You see our lives, Lord. Help us to offer to you. Help us to yield to you these loaves and fish, such as we are. Lord, there's lessons here. Purpose, meaning. Would you help us by your Spirit, Lord, to hear what you're saying to us, Lord? Keep away the distractions. May you have just free reign in this place, free reign in our hearts, as we now sit before you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The miracle here recorded in Matthew 14 is recorded in all 4 gospel accounts in our Bible. And make no mistake about it, this is a miracle that Jesus performs. Some would want to say that, well, really, it's just Jesus spoke so eloquently and so touching that all the people who up till then had been hiding their lunches in their little backpacks, pulled them out and said, oh, you know what, he's such a great guy, I'm going to share my lunch. And everybody shared their lunch and there was enough food. No, this wasn't just something that he kind of talked them into. He didn't trick them into sharing their lunches. In John's account of this, it tells us that after this, the people saw what the Lord had done and they tried to come in to make him king. They wouldn't have done that if this was simply him just speaking eloquently or something like that. But rather, it is a miracle. A miracle that he performs to meet a need. It's a miracle, plain and simple. Is there such a thing? Plain and simple miracle? Anyway, it's a miracle, plain and simple. I want us to consider this morning the steps that Jesus goes through to meet the needs of the multitude. Look at our text. Look at verses 13 and 14 again. When Jesus heard it, that is, when he heard about John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But as often is the case in ministry, it's not long until people gather around and there are needs set before him. Because we read, but when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. So as this portion of Scripture opens up here, we see, as we've seen all the way through the Gospels, indeed we're continually struck by the compassion of Jesus. Even though he's tired, he's hearing about John the Baptist, wants some time alone, but he sees the people's need. He doesn't say, go away, don't bother me, I'm tired, I got something else on my mind. No, he's not like that. But instead, he sees the needs of the people, and then how great that need is. He has compassion, and so he wants to meet the need. Well, that's not necessarily a news flash for us. We understand the Lord's like that. But this morning, I want you to notice something interesting. Learn, if you will, how he meets the need. And notice our part in it. Verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. Getting late in the day, the disciples are aware that there's no In-N-Out Burger handy. Lord, it's a deserted place. Send them away. Send them into the villages so they have something to eat. The disciples, as I've said, are very much like us in that they become aware of this need, and that causes them to become aware of their need. At this point, they're very aware of their own lack to meet the need. They become aware of the great wilderness that's around them, the great need of the great multitude. But what they forget is the very greatness of the Lord. See, the only answer they can come up with is the practical one. The one that makes sense. And is it not probably the same answer we would have come up with if we were there? Oh, we know the whole story now. But they didn't have Matthew 14 to read. They're living it. And all they see is this need. It's a very great need. All these people. We see later 5,000 men plus women and children. Lord, send them into the villages. So they come up with the practical answer. It's the answer that all of us would probably come up with. All of us, that is, except Jesus. Look at his answer to the problem. Verse 16. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, again, picture yourself as the disciple standing there. I mean, there's a lot of people, thousands of people here, and you're going, Lord, you got to send them away. And he goes, you don't need to send them away. You give them something to eat. You see him going, you know, like with what? You know, I don't have what it takes to meet this need. See, and that's what's important to see. In short, Jesus is telling them to do something that they can't do on their own. And he, of course, knows that. So why the question? What's going on here? He's going to be moving towards an important lesson. There's an awesome lesson in their future and in ours too. Because you see, it's not about their ability or their resources. It's going to be about simply their availability. It's about what they do offer. It's not about what they don't have. It's about what they do have and what they offer to him. So he recognizes they can't do what he's asking, but he wants them to see that as a step to what he's about to do here. Verse 17, they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What a very true conclusion they've come to. That is all they have, and that is all these items are. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Don't make more of the fish and the bread than they are. There's no magic in the bread. The fish are only fish. It's not about that which is being offered. See, this whole work is going to be of Jesus. And that's the point. That all the glory would go to him. And the same for us. Don't make more of us than we are. Oh, I recognize there may be some who go, "Hey, well, I can see why God would want what I have to offer. I really got a lot of good things going for me." May I suggest, if you're thinking that that's probably what's in the way of what he wants to do. Because if we are honest, if we recognize how awesome God is, how big he is, just how all-sufficient he is, it will very quickly make us aware of our insufficiency. Yes, all they were fish and bread. But that's all he wanted, wasn't it? He just simply wanted them to offer what they had. What can God do with some fish and bread? What can God do with a brash fisherman, rough edged and all, that keeps putting his foot in his mouth? Well, he turns him into the Peter that stands up on Pentecost and preaches, and 3,000 people are added to the church that day, and goes on to be the Peter that's used in so many awesome ways. What can God do with some fish and some bread? What can God do with a self-righteous Pharisee named Saul, who's going around trying to kill Christians? Well, he takes him and turns him into a Paul, the Paul of our New Testament. The Paul that said, "You know what? Nothing compared with knowing the Lord." And he goes on to stand before governors and so many others to proclaim the gospel. But not just back in that day, of course. What could God do with a shoe salesman? Nothing wrong with selling shoes, but simply a shoe salesman that hadn't been to seminary, doesn't have a degree in theology, just a simple shoe salesman named Dwight L. Moody. What could God do with some fish and bread like that? Turn him into one of the greatest evangelists that have ever lived. See, the list can and it does go on and on down through the centuries of a God who can take some fish and bread of a person's life and do awesome, awesome things. But now the question comes to us this morning. What can God do with us? What does God want to do with the fish and the loaves that you have? He's not looking for ability this morning, but he is looking for availability. What could you and I do with 5 loaves and a couple of fish in a crowd this big? So much need and so little natural resources. So much need around us today. In our homes, in our families, our marriages, our schools, our work, our communities, this fellowship with the children, so many needs all around us. What could God do with the bread and the fish of my life? That's the awesome message of our text. Make sure you see it. Look at verse 18. What can God do with a couple of fish and 5 loaves of bread? He said, Bring them here to me. Just bring the fish and the loaves to me. Don't argue it. Don't reason it. Don't worry about it. Just bring them here to me. Why does Jesus say to bring the fish to him? It's not so he can criticize them. It's not so he can be down on them. Is this all you're bringing? Give me a break. What am I supposed to do with that? They don't hear that, do they? Does he say, bring the fish to me and the bread to me so we can inspect them? Let's see if they're good enough to be used. Oh, look at this, man. Can't use that one. He doesn't inspect them. He already knows what they're bringing. And the same for us. He already knows what we bring. And he's not looking for us to bring it so he can put us down or criticize us. He's not there to inspect it. He already knows what the fish and the loaves are of your life. He doesn't say, bring them to me to inspect it. He says, bring it to me to use it. He uses them. Thus we read in verse 19, then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and the two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. Though they are meager, though they're just these two little fish and five loaves of bread, he does not hesitate to what? To take them into his hand. Again, he's not down on the smallness of the offering. It's simply that they're offered, that they're available. That's all he wants, and so he uses it. Again, I say it. It's the same for us. He gladly receives what we offer to him that he might use it. When you bring your fish, your loaves, your offering, yourself to him, you say, Lord, here I am, this meager fish and loaf life of mine, the little bit I am, here I am, such as I am. When you bring it, you don't find inspection and scorn. Instead, you find him. What does he do? He takes it in his hands and he blesses. We find blessing, not scorn and mocking. Now notice how it tells us here, he blessed the bread. He blessed what was yielded to him, and then he gave it out where there was a need. But I left out a part, didn't I? See, there was something in between those two steps. He looks up to heaven, it says, he blesses and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. Took the bread, broke it, began to pass it out. Now, I don't know exactly, I wasn't there, of course, I don't know exactly how it occurred, but you can just pretty much picture the fact that he broke it and begins to hand out, and it just keeps coming, and just keeps coming in the breaking. In the breaking and the distributing, it begins to be multiplied, it begins to meet need, and it begins to expand and have influence that it was designed, and he's breaking and passing out. What am I saying? So often between the offering to him, us, and the use of us by him, there's the breaking. The breaking of that pride. The breaking of the self-sufficiency. The breaking of our agendas. That breaking of us offering ourselves and then doing what? God, here I am. Now let me tell you how to use me. Here I am, God. Let me tell you how to do this. Let me tell you how to accomplish this. So by the way, Lord, I can drive from here on out. I got it. Well, he has to break us of that because we think small. We don't see tomorrow. And it begins to break us of us. Between the blessing and the giving, there's the breaking. If you're going to be used of God, don't let that discourage you, but understand it's going to happen. I dare say, I bet there's some that are right there today. If you haven't been, you're going to be. There's times when you say, Lord, here I am. I want to be used by you. And he took you, but all of a sudden he found out, wait a minute. And he began to change and break and deal with you first. But it must needs be. Because it's in the breaking that he multiplies. Leave it as one little piece, starts breaking, the multiplying starts happening. Do we see the example? I trust we do. There's that breaking he does of our lives. But then we become usable and people are blessed and needs are met. The miracle comes when it's put in his hands. It's fish and bread. It's offered to him. It's when he takes it in his hand and prays to the Father and thanks God that it was offered, begins to break it and use it. The miracle is when we put our fish and our bread in his hands. Lord, I don't know what you can do with this, but here it goes. And he begins to work, and what a miracle he does. A little becomes more than enough when it's placed in his hands. Lord, I don't know what to say in that situation, and I don't know how to share, and I don't know how to do that. And so we get all these things going on. He's going, just give me you. Will you just be available? Just offer up you. Verse 20. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were 5,000 men, besides women and children. Interesting. Back at the end of verse 19, it says he gives the loaves to the disciples. He's breaking it and passing it out. The disciples turn around and they give to the multitude. In the other versions, in the other gospel accounts, we learn that he tells the disciples, have the people sit down. So they go out and have the people sit down. And then he said, okay, now start giving the bread. And they start giving out the bread. What am I saying? Because they obeyed, they got to see a miracle. They could have said, Lord, why do you want them to sit down? They need to go to the cities and get some food. Sitting down won't help them, Lord. Or even when he started to break the bread, go and he starts giving this out. Well, Lord, if I give that out, like that's the first row, but all those other people are going to be mad. I mean, what? But they don't do all that. They just have them sit down and start passing it out. Because they obeyed, because they simply did what he said to do, before they saw how it was going to be used, before they saw the outcome of it, they just start obeying it. And because of that, they get to see, beyond that, they get to be part of a miracle. They get to meet a need. They get to see God meet a need through them. Do you notice they are distributors of the blessing, not manufacturers? Okay, guys, you feed them. Oh, man, I better get busy baking. No, they don't have to come up with this. People need God's love, his hope. We are distributors, not manufacturers. His peace, his answers. We are distributors. He passes it out through us, to us, and through us. We are not manufacturers. You know, in John's account of this feeding of the 5,000, it tells us Jesus goes on to use this opportunity to speak to the people about their spiritual hunger. He takes the fact that they had a physical hunger and he met it to say, and you got a spiritual hunger. And he says, and I'm the bread of life. I'm the only place you're going to find that hunger met. Now think about it. This little guy's lunch was used to not only physically be multiplied and meet physical need, but it became an awesome sermon illustration to speak to people about their eternal need and the Lord's answer to that. All because he didn't keep it in the sack. He didn't say, anybody got some food? He didn't tuck behind his back, oh man. Instead, he gave it. And it became a lesson to meeting needs physically and spiritually. Just some fish and a bread. So it can be with us if we will just bring it to him. Now, do you know that this isn't the last time that Jesus feeds a large multitude in this manner? Turn one chapter over. You're in Matthew 14. Go to Matthew 15 for just a moment, verse 32. Matthew 15, 32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the seven loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up seven large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. There is no doubt that this is not just a retelling of the event back in chapter 14, because the differences are notable. Here he feeds 4,000 men plus women and children. In the first account, it was 5,000. In the first account, there were 12 baskets left over. In this one, there are 7 baskets left over. Point is, there's enough differences about the where and the when and all of it. As you study the text, you see this is a second occasion of Jesus performing the same kind of miracle. Well, to that you might say, well, that's interesting, Pastor, but since it's so much like the previous account, why did you take our time reading over it? Doesn't the other one serve as a good enough example? Well, it does, except for the point I want to add right now. Look at verses 33 and 34 again. Then his disciples said to him, where can we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Seems like I've heard that before, as in just a chapter ago. Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven and a few little fish. In the first feeding, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish. In this one, it's 7 loaves and a few little fish. But what's the result? The same results. All were fed. Needs were met. The Lord was glorified. The point? They brought different amounts each time, but it's all they had at that time, and he brings it, and he used them both. He used both amounts, didn't he? Same for us. Don't compare what you have to what the other guy has and say, oh man, he's got so much to offer. I can see why God might want to use him or her. I mean, he's got the smarts or the looks or the income. He's got the house. He's got the friends. He's got the influence. All I got is this couple fish. All I got is me. See, whether it's 5 loaves and 2 fish or 7 loaves and a few fish, it's not the amount. It's not what you offer. It's who you offer it to. It's whose hands you're placing you into. It doesn't matter if the other guy has a better degree or more intelligence or something. It's not like that at all. He's looking for vessels. He's looking for availability. It's who you're offering it to. Do you realize Jesus doesn't need any of the fish or bread, does he? He doesn't really need any of it to meet the need, if he should so choose. This is God incarnate. He created the world. He spoke and existed the world. He spoke and the world existed where it didn't before. He spoke something into existence out of nothing. He can make bread. He can make fish right there. He could speak and there'd be bread. Yet he chooses this route. He chooses to use what is offered. In a sense, he draws the offerers, the disciples and all, into a partnership. Same for us, of course. And in the doing of that, he who made us, when he says, now offer to me you, as we do, we discover why we're here. Oh, he could have left me out of the whole thing. But by including me, I begin to discover what it's like to be used by him, to be available to him, to walk with him, and then to see him work in and through me. I discover meaning and purpose and fulfillment. And then, at the end of life's journey, I get to hear, well done for it. Let me get this straight now. He makes me, such as I am. I offer that back to him. He takes it, uses it, lifts my life above the everyday things of this world and what the world would try to do with me. He gives me true purpose and meaning. And then when it's done, it says, well done. This is a good deal. Why do we hesitate? Why do we hesitate? John's gospel tells us that a young boy had brought the loaves and the fish, the bread and the fish back in the 5,000, feeding the 5,000. And in of themselves, how many people could 5 loaves and 2 fish feed? Not too many. One, really. And yet, when it was offered to the Lord, it was something he could use and multiply. What I'm saying is this. If the little boy keeps the bread and the fish to himself, he feeds himself. His needs met. Offers it to the Lord, and he feeds himself and 5,000 men plus the others. We are so worried, oh, what's he going to do? I'll starve. My needs won't be met. You're not going to outgive God. Offer God what you have. Don't try to reason it out. Don't not bring to him what you have because you think it's not enough. Whether it's 7 loaves or 5 loaves or whatever is in your life, offer it. Offer what you have, what you are to him, and leave the rest to him. I'm going to ask something of you right now. I'm going to ask you to don't put your Bible away yet. I'm going to ask you not to grab your jacket and get all ready to go. But instead, I'm going to ask you just to sit for just a moment and listen to something. John, if you and Darla would come up. John and Darla very graciously are going to sing a song for us. Now, I ask you, I encourage you, listen to this song with your heart. Not just your head, but with your heart. Think about your fish and your loaves. And listen to this song. Because then afterwards, there's going to be an encouragement. There's going to be a challenge. There's going to be an invitation. So I invite you. Just take in what they're about to sing for us.
He heard the preacher say a single dime could feed a hungry boy or girl with nothing to eat. So he pulled a dollar from the pocket of his jeans. He asked his mama, how many will this feed? She just smiled. And when she told him 10, he reached back in again.
What
if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give all? 3 birthday dollars could have bought a special toy. He reminds me of another little boy who gave to Jesus a gift of fish and bread. I wonder if he said, What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude. He didn't close his eyes or turn away. I can see him standing tall. He saw the need and I can hear him say, what if I give all? Long ago, a father and a son saw the children lost in sin. Can you see the tears in Father's eyes as Jesus says to him, what if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My son, a gift like that could change the world. It will free the multitude. What if I give all I have? What will that gift do? My child, a gift like that could change the world. It could feed a multitude. We cannot close our eyes and turn away. When we hear His Spirit call, we see the need, now let Him hear us say, what if I give all? What if I give
all? Would you be willing to give God your fish? Your loaves. Perhaps you recognize this morning and you can sense God tugging on you that it's time to give all. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about whatever God might be touching you about. It could be that, I guess, but it's across, it's basically us. It's all that we have, all that we are. This morning, would you want to bring your loaves and your bread to God? Do you want to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you find in me, it's yours. I'm not going to qualify it. Lord, I choose not to look at how little bread I have. Lord, I choose not to consider how few are my fish. But these few fish and this bread that I am, this old fish and loaf life of mine, is yours. And I know, Lord, I've been holding back. And I've been excusing and saying tomorrow or maybe later, Lord, I want to put me in your hands. For some, there might be something specific today. Something specific that you've been holding back. But God's been tugging on your heart and telling you it's time to bring it to Him. A gift of some sort, a talent, whatever it is. Bread left on the shelf gets hard and moldy, and maybe that's where you're at. And it's time to quit hiding the lunch behind our back and say, Lord, take it, take me, take this old fish and life loaf of my life and use it. Now, I'm speaking to those, of course, who've received Christ as Savior. You don't earn Jesus. You don't earn salvation by doing something. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. And you need to receive it. And if you haven't received what he did on the cross for you, eternity's in the balance for you. And this morning you need to receive that payment, that forgiveness of sins. It's a free gift given to all if you'll just receive it. If you haven't done that, then as we wrap up our time, then get over here to the prayer room and find a prayer partner and tell them you need to make that step. But I'm speaking to those of us who have said, we've declared, we acknowledge that we're his. But I'm just asking, are there some fish and loaves still in the backpack? That he's saying, would you give me all of you today? Would you give me that today? Is it time to surrender all? You will never forget. You'll never regret it. If you do, only God knows what he might be speaking to you about right now. Only God knows what the fish and the loaves are of your life. It's between you and him, and we don't need to know. But I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray for you. If today's the day you say, Lord, I got a fish, I got a loaf, I got me, such as I am. And I want to give it. If you would like to do that, I'm going to ask you to stand. Only God will know. We don't know. Great. Awesome. There's something you've been holding back. Something you know you need to let go to him. Be it your whole life. Be it something in your life, an area, a gift, a talent, whatever it is. Something that